This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Jason Bishop. We are celebrating the Nats' 3-0 lead on the St. Louis Cardinals in the NLCS, one win away from the World Series. And it's crazy. You just look at the headlines from the Washington Post. Now, these are the online headlines. Sometimes the online headlines are different than the actual paper, but I don't have the actual paper in front of me. And it's so different, but it's fun. The Nats, one win from World Series, providing a doubt-free sense of release. With their World Series dreams nearing reality, the Nats are suddenly a machine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it seems like.
How about Robles last night, who hurt his hammy in the Dodgers series and came back and just didn't miss a beat last night? A couple hits, hit the bomb.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
Man, it's... From top to bottom, everyone is contributing.
I got a Junkies-like question for our listeners and for the four of us. 800-636-1067. So during this run of the playoffs, who gets you most sized? If you had to pick one guy.
Right now?
One guy throughout the run who gets you most sized.
I think it might be Howie. Just clutch hitting.
I mean, he's delivered.
It's hard not to pick him.
Not on the field and base running blunders.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
But the stick.
I can overlook the botched fielding as long as he's hot at the plate, which he is.
It's hard to argue with Howie.
It's hard to argue with Strassi.
Strassi, too. I like Rendon. And if you know, the problem is Soto typically over the last couple months, but just on a cold spell right now.
You know what? I don't know if it's... I kind of just feel great for Ryan Zimmerman.
At
Zimmerman, the way he's like talking, like... He's the most relaxed and, like, happy I've ever seen him.
Oh, yeah, so happy.
800-636-1067. Just wondering, like, who gets you the most steamed up right now?
Well, certainly you get steamed up for Zim. Like, who do you get most, like, do you want to see rewarded for all their years? It's Zim, 100%. And I think Davey went on record, right, and said as long as he's healthy down the stretch here, he's starting every game
the rest of the way. He's delivered. Look, in the Brewers game, we talk about that rally. He has that broken bat hit, which is huge. Like you said, they're just a few outs from being eliminated. They were in a wild card game.
Yeah.
That's the crazy thing. They were in a one-game wild card.
Well, they're four outs away from being eliminated.
Yeah. And Zim has delivered. Huge home run.
And look.
In the Dodgers series.
Strassi's pitched in four games in the postseason. Three starts. They've won all four of those games.
He'd have 21 wins if we counted the postseason wins.
Yeah. He's pitched, 22 innings. He's given up four runs, and he's got 33 strikeouts.
What's his career October ERA now?
1.1 zippy.
It's low.
Career.
He's a postseason monster.
It's unbelievable.
Now, kind of a small sample size. It's only, seven games or so? But, yeah, he's been unbelievable.
He's building a nice postseason resume at this point.
Remember, we are giving away tickets for tonight's game at 7:20 and 8:20. But right now, taking your calls at 800-636-1067. So I feel the best for Zim, but I kind of agree with Cakes. Howie Kendrick at the plate, man. It's like, I need to get him out.
He's just a machine. Total machine.
I feel good for all those guys. We met a lot of them down at spring training in March when we were down there. We've met them in the last couple of years.
You're not going to find a better guy than Sean Doolittle.
Doolittle's
great. You will
not
find a better guy than him.
Doolittle's the nicest guy. Zim, a great dude.
Zim's a great guy.
Davey's a great dude.
I like Suzuki.
I feel bad for dubbing him Doolittle for a while.
Yeah, but you know what? He probably would have called himself that, too.
Yeah, we're having fun.
I loved Jan Gomes. Suzuki was great. Corbin was a nice guy. Quiet, but nice. I mean, all those guys. You just feel good for him.
Cakes had a man crush on Trevor Rosenthal.
I did.
Well,
he was so nice. He had great. So nice. Great hair. Perfect teeth. super friendly.
Nice guns.
Yeah. I mean, just, yeah, what's not to like about him?
Yeah, well,
I mean, the pitching part was what, not to like.
Not throwing a strike? Apparently,
that was the part not to like.
Do you like the Tigers? Does he throw to the backstop?
The most important
part. I thought he was
part.
On a minimum of three teams this year. I'm not quite
but
sure.
Nice yeah. guy. Oh, nice guy, good. Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
First ballot.
Let's go to Aaron in Manassas. Hey, Aaron, what's up, buddy?
Hey, it's a beautiful morning, boys. How we doing?
Hey, doing great.
Well, see, I'll tell you something else. I got a broom in my right hand and a ticket to the show in my left. I'll tell you something else, boys.
Ticket to the show. Nice.
Yeah, I do like
Aaron from Manassas. He's shooting up the charts as one of my favorite callers.
Hey, can we bring a broom to the press box tonight?
No, I'm not doing that. That's EB's bit for the way he's talking. I'm not doing that. Man, probably wouldn't be allowed.
Kind of a
no, but you can bring a pocket square.
Probably
you need a pocket
probably
square.
Be frowned upon.
I got one for you.
All right, who's up next?
I don't know.
800-636-1067.
I see DePompa. We'll go to John. John, what's up, buddy?
Hey, guy. I was actually prepared to call in and talk about how much I love Ryan Zimmerman, but I just want to spend the next 10 minutes discussing Aaron from Manassas.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, that guy, I want a podcast. I want a t-shirt.
He's discussion worthy.
Like,
yeah.
What's up, man? How are you feeling?
Yeah, I mean, just think about, again, EB, have you ever heard the term butt sight?
Yeah, yeah, I've heard
that's
that.
That's how I feel, like 24/7. Like, I just sight all the time.
Right.
No, I just wanted to talk, like, Ryan Zimmerman, this is so good for him. I mean, he was drafted by the team, they played in RFK, he lost, like, what did he lose, 90 games a year? Like, he stuck it out, hometown discount, like, 10-year deal. He actually took the field with Nationals on his chest, the only guy left on the team that did that. You know what I mean? Like, this guy's been through it all, and this is vindication for him for sticking it out. This is great.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, he's going, you know, he's got his bromance with Ovechkin. He's got him and Scherzer during the Caps run you got Bryce wearing, it's just so, you know, so the antithesis. You got Bryce wearing the Golden Knights jersey with his wife all bitter in the box. And you got Zimmerman wearing like a beer helmet with Scherzer hyping the crowd up. I mean, this is what, you know, the good guy wins once in a while.
Did you see Bryce, the recent photos where he was at the Eagles game and he was rocking all his Eagles? I thought he was a Cowboys fan.
Yeah,
he's a poser. I mean,
that guy's
the biggest alert. Poser
he's
in the world.
Hey,
what's a bigger poser? Cakes wearing Vans or Bryce Harper?
Close.
Hey, again, I said I'm not using them on a skateboard. I'm just walking around with them.
How about when
go
when,
easy?
The answer is cakes wearing Vans.
Bryce did the press conference after he signed with the Phillies and said, "I just want to bring a World Series to DC. I mean Philly."
Right. Yeah. He's a hack.
He has a PR team that tells him what to say. I mean, he is a hack poser. Anyway, why are we talking about Bryce? Who cares?
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't care about rest. Sweep them, get it done, and sit around for a week. I mean,
don't worry about, you're not worried about being rusty or anything, losing a little of their
rhythm? No, because honestly, with the decisions Davey and probably Rizzo have been making, I think they'll develop a plan and how to use their pitching staff, you know, how to hide that bullpen even more in the World Series. They have a week off. I think they can strategically line up that pitching staff to have guys in the bullpen for game one, you know, have Corbin in the bullpen for that. I think that's actually advantageous to us to hide that bullpen.
You want to rest the old guys. Kendrick needs a couple days off. Zim probably needs a couple days off. It couldn't hurt to rest some of those guys.
I saw that over the weekend, the Nats are the oldest team in the baseball, which I was kind of surprising with Robles and Soto, but I guess Kendrick, Zimmerman, and Rodney really bump up that average.
Rodney,
Dozier,
Parra. Some old dudes. Hudson. Yeah. Actually, Hudson's
Adam,
not that old.
I love that youth, man. That Soto, Robles youth movement. But by the way, real quick, the only thing that's getting washed out in last night, that we're not forgetting, but Adam Eaton's been so clutch. I mean, he gets it started every game. I mean, in LCS, he has an RBI in every game, has extra base hit in every game. And he comes up with the most doo-doo at-bats you've ever seen, and then he follows it up with a triple or a double. You know what I mean? Adam Eaton's really the unsung hero of the NLCS this year so far.
Yeah. Well, he's hitting 180, but he has some big hits.
I think John needs to talk a little faster.
He's just trying to get it
all in.
He said
he's butt-sized. I mean, that's what happens.
All right, let's go to Joe in D.C. Hey, Joe, what's up, man? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
What's
appreciate
up?
Your show.
Thanks,
thank
man.
You, Joe.
Very
what's
informative.
Up?
I'm just glad that they won yesterday. I pray today that they win again, and it's an opportunity for me to have a possibility of seeing the World Series here in D.C. for the first time in my lifetime.
That's
what part
great.
Of D.C. do you live in?
Northwest Washington, Chinatown.
Very nice.
And then, were you like,
China.
Are you a longtime D.C. resident?
72 years of my life. Ooh, I've been here every single year.
That's a long time.
So were you a Senators fan, or did you just pick up the Nats?
I was a Senators fan back in the day when they had Chuck Hinton and Bob Allison, Harmon, Killebrew. I remember all of those guys.
He was
guys.
A Ty Cobb fan.
It's a little before that, Cakes. A little before
and
that.
And then when Mickey Vernon took over the team, and then when they, you know, then when they expanded and went to Minnesota, I was crushed.
Right.
And then when they came up with an expansion team that could not win diddly squat.
Yep.
I mean, it was just sad to have a baseball team that could never ever win. So when the Montreal Expos moved here, and I had a chance to really see a baseball team, even though I wasn't a National League person.
Right.
But the tone of the game has changed, and so now I'm just elated.
Who's your guy? Who's your guy on the Nats?
Howie Kendrick.
Yeah. Howie Kendrick. Right? He's delivering.
Because he's the man. I mean, clutch hitting. I mean, I'm not even worried about the defensive errors he's made in the last few games because that's just him. But,
right.
I mean, when we need a clutch hit and when we need an opportunity to get some runs, he's the man.
Right. Yeah, they made a point on the broadcast last night talking about the Nats with two outs. And how many RBIs they had. I think they're up to 19 RBIs with two outs.
Some amazing
And they led the
hitting.
Major leagues during the regular season.
A lot
season,
of rallies
so.
Going.
Thank you, Joe.
Two outs.
Okay.
Thank you, buddy.
You
appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Thank you, man.
All right.
And how about Strauss last night? I'm not even sure any of them transit. Maybe one of them get two bunts down. We got some bunts down
could
finally.
Could do that in the Dodgers series, but he did it.
Finally got the damn bunts down.
Yeah.
Let's go to Alan in Seat Pleasant. Hey, Alan. What's up, man? You're on with the Junks.
Good morning.
Hey.
Thanks, guys, for taking my call.
Sure.
And I just wanted to come clean and say that when the team was 19 and 33, you know, I wanted Davey fired. You know, I was terribly upset. And I know a lot of people are, you know, on the bandwagon right now, but I just wanted to be honest. You know, I'm happy right now, and just this is one of the greatest. I've been a D.C. resident for 66 years. I also was a Senators fan with Frank Howard. I caught a ball that Boog Powell hit at the stadium.
Nice.
And I'm dedicated, you know, diehard Washingtonian fan. And I just wanted to be honest about that.
A lot of people felt that way.
It's all good. No worries.
It wasn't an unreasonable opinion at the time. They were underperforming.
Right.
Now, part of it was the injuries.
Yeah.
Part of it was a terrible bullpen. But it wasn't crazy. A lot of people in baseball thought he was going to be fired.
Thank you, Alan. Appreciate it, buddy. It's all good. Just enjoy
stars,
it. Don't feel any guilt about it. Be excited.
I won't. I am. Thanks,
right.
guys.
Thank
Come on,
you, buddy.
He's even mentioned one of your idols, Boog Powell.
I guess nice for a smoked turkey.
I know this. I pretty much steadfastly defended Davey because I just thought it was silly to blame the manager. But I do know at their sort of their lowest moment, I did say, well, one thing I do know is that he's not special.
Yeah.
You know, I remember saying that thinking that. But I will say this. I think what maybe does make him special is just his patience and his demeanor. That might be special. I don't know X's and O's wise. You know, I don't know if he's a genius about all that. But I think his demeanor, his patience, and the way he just stayed solid throughout even the darkest
of
times.
There is a calmness about him.
That's a special quality.
But he also, you could tell, he just learned certain things. The way he managed the team last year to this year. He just learned. He's learning. And
well,
you know he learned a lot under Joe Maddon, but
he had to.
When you're the head guy and you got to make those decisions, you lean on your assistant coaches, but he's just a much better manager today than he was, certainly when they were 19 and 31.
Well, also, he's able.
But last year.
He's able now to do things that he couldn't do then. You know what I mean? Because there's
remember how many injuries they had?
Oh, a ton.
Yeah,
but we talked about it yesterday. The playoff managing has been so much different.
Oh yeah, completely different.
The regular season managing. When you can bring in Corbin for a batter, when you can bring in Max in relief twice in a series, bring Strasburg in for three innings in a wild card game. A lot of it, I think, you're talking about patience. A lot of it is because of Rizzo. You know, and I think they come up with game
vindication
plans
for Rizzo too.
And we've talked to different guests in baseball that say that managing is a smaller factor now that a lot of his organizational decisions, sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. Like, they, you know, when we talked about the Dodgers had their game plan, their name Kershaw, it wasn't necessarily a management decision.
Next time we get Riz on, I don't know when. It's typically, Wednesdays?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, it's different now because of the way the schedule is.
Yeah.
I'm desperate to ask him, has he ever texted, if not Davey, you know, what's the other dog's name that used to manage that? Hale or
Chip, was it Chip Hale? Hale?
Has he ever texted Hale? Like, has he ever contacted those guys
the
during
the
game?
Haven't we asked him that before?
I can't remember.
I think
he probably has. I'm going to say he's going to say no.
I think he just, yeah.
And I'll believe him, but I'm just desperate to know. And then the other thing is, do they get rid of every ball that touches the dirt? If it's a hit or if it's like if he throws a curveball in the dirt, it's gone.
Yeah, they just roll it out.
And then I've noticed now, even if they get a hit, it comes back into the pitcher. The pitcher throws the ball.
He
wants fresh balls every single time.
They want the freshies.
It probably depends on the pitcher.
Man, it seems like they must be going through 300 balls.
Oh, tons.
A game.
They're making a lot of money.
Yeah,
they can afford the baseball.
But literally, balls will have one pitch.
No, it's not like
done.
We grew up.
And then they're done.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Well, maybe that's why there are so many home runs nowadays. And Major League Baseball is loving it. Balls flying all over the yard.
Well, they're definitely not dead.
Yes.
They're definitely fresh.
All right, coming up next, we will switch gears, talk a little Redskins. John Keim, insider for ESPN.com, will join us and give us the latest. And we're going to give you a chance to win tickets to tonight's game, Nats Cardinals Game 4, right here on the Junkies.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. And we have tickets to tonight's game at Nats Park, courtesy of Papa John's. It's a better day when Papa John's has Nats NLCS tickets for you as the MLB postseason continues for your Washington Nationals. It's all courtesy of Papa John's, official sponsor of the MLB. Details at thefandc.com/contest. We are going to make you earn it. We have a trivia question from last night's game. Jason Bishop, what is said trivia question?
From last night's game, who did Victor Robles hit the bomb diggity off of?
Who did Victor?
What Cardinals pitcher gave up the bomb diggity to Victor?
Robles hit his home run off of. You call us at 800-636-1067. 10th caller, you have the right answer. You're going to tonight's game courtesy of Papa John's. All right, we've been celebrating the Nats Game 3 win throughout the morning, but we will sprinkle in some Redskins talk. Joining us right now, one of our faves, John Keim, covers the Redskins for ESPN.com. Joins us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline.
There he is. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. I feel like the unwanted guest at a party. All this Nats talking, here I come.
Yeah. You know what? We got to sprinkle in some Redskins talk. Did you get a sense that the team played differently for Bill Callahan than Jay Gruden?
Well, it's hard to say that because of who the opponent was, right? I think where you saw some and where players were talking about it afterward was the fewer amount of penalties overall and none on offense. And I think that was something they pointed to. Now the funny thing is, like, one of the most heavily penalized groups before this was the offensive line. But they didn't have any offensive penalties. So I think that was something that they pointed to as, maybe a result of that change and several days of practice with him. I don't know if it would be that soon. I think it would be something more over time. I don't know. I don't know that there was necessarily more energy, but I think certainly for some guys there were. You can darn well believe that Adrian Peterson was a little bit more pumped up for this one because of the change. So I think certainly some guys would have felt that way. And I just think the overall structure was different throughout the week. And I know that appealed to some players.
Now, John, this is the first regular season game that I haven't seen in a long time. I was out of town. I tried to watch a little on my computer, on my lap. I couldn't follow much. I'm curious, though, how sort of the play calling was with O'Connell calling plays. Obviously, Adrian got a lot of runs, but I'm under the impression they were up, so that's part of the reason. Did we notice anything different sort of in the passing game? How did all that play out?
No, well, yeah, and with the run game, the commitment was there. I think what the formations, the groupings, were a little bit different in the past. For example, multiple tight end sets on, was it 21 of the 58 snaps. Going into the game, they had multiple tight ends on 39 of 307 snaps. So that, that was a result of that. And some of the big pass plays came off of those run looks. And McLaurin's touchdown, the 32-yard gain in the fourth quarter, all off heavy run looks and play-action fakes. So I think that was a result of that. Now, the Redskins could stick with the run Sunday because the Dolphins have had a terrible offense with Josh Rosen at quarterback. So the first three drives, you punt three times, but it doesn't hurt you. In other games, it may have hurt them. They may have been down 10 to nothing, and then you're starting to play a different game. But they could stick with the run because of that. So that was, I think, that was certainly a Callahan, I believe, influence and desire. As far as the pass plays being called, I'm not sure that I saw a tremendous difference because a lot of the stuff was the same. But and there was definitely stuff that was still left out there too.
Yeah, John, you can tell me I'm wrong, but I actually think this Kevin O'Connell narrative is being played up too much because Bill Callahan's an offensive guy, so he's going to have his imprint. And it's not like they threw away the playbook and came up with all these new plays. It's the Gruden playbook. So are we really seeing a Kevin O'Connell imprint? I don't think so.
No, because you're right. It is not his offense, and they will be using – I mean, it is the same playbook. You're not throwing away your playbook in 1 week and doing anything dramatically different. What you might do is emphasize other plays from that playbook. But let's be honest. I mean, they only scored 17 points.
Right.
And so it's not like they were just, you know, it's not like lights out and they're running the ball and they couldn't convert on third downs. Now, a lot of that was quarterback play, and that's been part of the issue here all along. And Case Keenum, you know, first game back after his sprained foot, but there were definitely plays that were left on the field again, and that's been a continuation of the first 5 weeks too. So, yeah, I don't think you're going to see that imprint. I think what you could see is, it may be more the Callahan influence if they play a more disciplined, detail-oriented game throughout, you know, on offense the rest of the year, and then you can see some success maybe with the play calling off of that. And, you know, and again, if they're running the ball well and being able to use more play-action fakes to set things up. But, like, even some of the same stuff was running the ball on first down. That's what Jay Gruden liked to do, too, and they certainly did it the other day. Again, you can stick with that philosophy when the other team isn't threatening you on offense. It's a lot harder, for example, on Sunday against the Niners if you want to try that because they're going to threaten you offensively. So if you don't have success early, then you may not be in a position to stick with what you want.
John, you're an Ohio State guy, so of course you knew that Terry McLaurin was going to come in and just have an outrageous rookie season, 408 yards receiving already through just five games, found the end zone five times already. I mean, he's the real deal, and the Redskins got a steal with him in the third round, obviously, so far, from what we've seen.
Absolutely, and you know, the one thing, it's rare when you see a guy play in college and you have an opinion of him, of who you think he is and his approach. And then you meet that guy, and it's exactly what you thought. So for him, when you'd watch him in college, what impressed me always with him was his work as a special teams guy, his work as a, like, he did the little things on offense. He won the player of the game against Penn State last year because he made a block on the game-winning touchdown run. That, you know what I mean? So, like, you see that, and, like, that's who you think he is. Like, that's the kind of guy he is. There's a mentality that goes along with that, and that's exactly who he is. He is a very much a do-whatever-takes-to-win guy and do what he needs to do to get better. Now, there are little things like he would do to catch the ball better. He would, at Ohio State, he'd stand behind a dummy and just hold his hands out so he could learn how to catch the ball better out with his hands out in front of his body, something he needed to do to improve to get to the NFL and then stay there. So it's the work that he puts into it and does that. And then you see the speed, and you see that, like, just there's a savviness to his game already that, to me, is what is the most surprising, because in the spring he was not running routes like this and getting open like this in the workouts. And he came back to camp, and it was different. And you see it, like, on the touchdown, for example. Watch how he sells the crossing route, and the corner undercuts him, thinking it because he turns his head back, corner starts undercut him heavily, and the safety starts coming up because it looks like that's where it's going. And then he just immediately darts back out for the corner to the corner for a touchdown. That kind of stuff he consistently does. He's gotten open against every corner he's faced, and that's Byron Jones, Stephon Gilmore, and anybody else, because he knows how to run routes. And I think that, to me, is what has jumped out the most.
Well, the one thing that the Niners will want to do in this game is run. They're second in the league in rushing behind the Ravens. They average about 4.6 per carry. They got Breida. They've got Mostert. They've got Coleman back. He was out for a while with an injury. Now he's back. He had a good game this past week. They've got one of the best tight ends in football who they'll target. Garoppolo will target him a bunch. So just talk about the Niners offense and what problems they do pose for the Skins.
Well, the thing I've always liked about Kyle Shanahan's offense is I think it tests your eye discipline. And so if you run that the stretch zone and all that, and you come back with play action off that, it really, really tests your that you have to stay and honor your job. And if you don't, they're going to pick on you, and they're going to find that. And I think that's, to me, is one of the big challenges with his offense. And he puts you – he stresses the defense just with play design, play action, the action of the play. And these guys have had a hard time with that eye discipline. So I think that, to me, is something that, clearly is going to be an issue. I've always liked watching Kyle Shanahan's offense. They play with a certain tempo and rhythm. I think it's fun to watch because of that. But that run game, they've always known how to get that run game, and that stretch zone, it's just hard to stop, because if you don't honor it, then you they're going to hand it off. They're just going to keep handing it off until you do, and then they're going to hit you on bootlegs, or some sort of play action off that. And I think that's what makes him so effective. He knows how to attack a defense as well as anybody.
John, again, having only seen the sort of the first quarter of this, but the reports I got were the case was kind of dreadful at times, and yet I see he had a quarterback rating of 100, threw two touchdowns, no picks, maybe had a couple near ones. Somebody told me one of the throws
one
was just comical
was.
And embarrassing.
Yep.
Did he do enough to keep the job?
Well, according to them, yes. And I think, yes, he did.
Okay.
Because that question was asked to Bill Callahan after the game, and then he said yes, and so they're going to continue with Case Keenum. I don't think you're going to see Dwayne Haskins for probably a few more weeks. I don't know.
But we're getting there, though. We're trending in that direction, right?
Of course. Listen, when you're 1-5, and look at the games coming up. You have San Francisco, Minnesota, Buffalo. I mean, it's pretty tough stretch. So at the end of that stretch, I could see something going different here. And, whether or not, they think Dwayne Haskins is ready, and I know that the druthers would have been for him to sit, this entire year. The quarterback play from the others has not cooperated to allow them that sort of luxury or that ability, because it's just going to get to a point, if you're 1-8, let's say, why aren't you going to put him in? And if you're not, then I think you better start answering some serious questions as to why not. What is holding him back? And, you could get into a deep dive on that. But I do think that, you reach a point where that's going to probably be the option that you go with. Because if this is about, and Bill Callahan said it last week, if he's the future of the franchise, this is about developing him, then you're going to have to find some packages and get him in there and just start to see. And I know I say start to see. I mean, these guys see a lot in practice, a lot in meeting rooms.
Yeah.
There's a lot of information they already have to go on. It's not about, hey, let's go see. If there are certain things that trouble them in practice and elsewhere, they're not going to put a guy in general. And so I think, you have to be careful with see what you got. Well, a lot of times they kind of have an idea of where a guy is at.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But I think you get to a point where, yes, that's going to have to be the option.
All right, let me ask you real quick, in a minute or so, John, about the other first-round pick, Montez Sweat. I was on him early, and it just kind of annoyed me. But then he flashed a little bit. But I've noticed his playing time seems to have diminished. It looks like he made a couple plays, but I know when I was watching the first quarter, I didn't see him out there like nearly as much as he was early on. Am I seeing things, or, where are we with the development of Montez?
Yeah, and I think Sunday, too, that sun was brutal.
So, you know, you're going to try and rotate guys a little bit more.
Okay.
And I don't, I had to have to check the play time to see, but like, I mean, I remember him in there a decent amount. So that son was brutal. And they were, you know, they're trying to do some different things, it looks like, with him. They did have one rush where they had Kerrigan and Sweat on the same side. Yeah, it changes it up a little bit. And I think that's what they need to do. And I've seen some differences over the last couple weeks with some of their alignments and stunts and all that. And it's kind of about time. So, but I think there's still, you know, when you watch him still, there's still some hesitation with some of the moves and maybe some overthinking in some areas. I think that's caused him to not get home quite as much. I think it's still a work in progress. It's hard to make an instant impact as a pass rusher. I know some guys do, but most guys don't. Mm-hmm. And I think we're seeing that play out here, that it does take some time, and you do have to get to a point where even as a pass rusher, you've got to go in there with some level of understanding how to make moves and counter things when you're rushing. And there are times, like if he's stutter-stepping coming up, it's not quite as fluid. I think it gets him, you know, it makes him easier to block in some cases. So when he can just go out and play, you know, it's going to be a lot better for him.
John, you're hearing more stories and reports that Snyder really wants Mike Tomlin. They've got some sort of a personal relationship. Tomlin's kid plays.
Right.
Tomlin's kid plays at Maryland. He's from, you know, the Newport News area, Virginia Beach area. A lot of local ties, but he is under contract, so they would have to trade for him. So are you starting to buy into this, or is this just, you know, kind of meaningless? Do you think Tomlin would have any interest here? What do you make of it?
Yeah, I know that there's a relationship, and I heard from some people that would be a guy that they clearly would like. And, I mean, most teams would like a Mike Tomlin. So let's start with that. It's, you know, that part, I definitely buy that they would want him.
Oh, yeah, I definitely buy that. I just wonder feasible
but
is
it? As far as, like, in talking to some people there, in talking to some other people, like, I think the hard part for them, for other people, would be, like, would Mike Tomlin really want to come coach here? He's a very loyal guy, very loyal to that organization. So the only way you're going to to make a trade for him would cost an awful, awful lot.
Right.
And then if I'm the Steelers, I'd go to Mike Tomlin and say, if you want to be there, we'll do this. If you don't want to go, we're not going to do this. Mm-hmm. You know, and so, like, I think, and I might, you know, and just knowing how he is, you know, hearing about him, I would have a hard time believing he would say, yeah, I definitely want to be there. You know, what's more attractive here than it is there for him? Mm-hmm. You know, unless both sides get to a point where they say we're done with each other. And I don't know that it's at that point. So, you know, I've talked to other people who don't, and I know Adam Schefter had a report for us the other day, said that's very far-fetched. And I've talked to other people who say there's just no way that they think that he would want to come here. Mm-hmm. And another guy who reps coaches in this league was like, this job is for the daring or the desperate. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, listen, you know, again, I completely understand the interest. I have a hard time believing that it would be, you know, but they'd be able to pull it off. If they did, more power to them, but it just, you know.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
Feels, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, John, we'll appreciate the time as always. That's John Kine from ESPN.com who joined us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Remember, coming up at 8:20, your chance to win tickets to tonight's game Nats Park, courtesy of Papa John's. That's coming up at 8:20. At 8 o'clock, we'll get back into the Nats Cardinals series with Eddie Matz, senior baseball writer from ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Coming up at 8 o'clock, we get back into Nats Cardinals. Eddie Matz, ESPN senior baseball writer, is going to join us. And Caps fans, heads up, center ice Lars Eller at 8:40 this morning.
Big loser last night. Big loser.
Yeah, a couple things.
It threw me a little bit that they dropped the puck at 5 p.m. because it was stupid Columbus Day.
Right.
I looked down.
I told you, you slept on
it. I looked down at my phone. All of a sudden, the blink of an eye, it's 4 zippy.
By the way, Jason went off on me yesterday because I didn't know that it was a holiday.
No,
it was
Columbus
Day.
I didn't go off on you.
My son had school yesterday. Well, that's why I was. I mean, like, I didn't think it was like this special day. Like, he was like, oh, nobody's on the road.
That's because Maryland is a terrible state.
I mean,
Virginia all had off.
Your kids had school, right?
Definitely have school.
My kids had school. I don't consider me going to work. My kids going to school as a holiday. How is that a holiday?
I'm just telling you, there was a certain percentage of the population that was off.
It's such a nubs holiday. Cakes pointed out that they added a second part to the holiday. It used to be Columbus Day, and now what is it?
It's Columbus Day and Indigenous Peoples Day.
Richard, you're getting defensive. I didn't say it was
He's
huge.
Awfully defensive.
I didn't say it was a huge holiday. I just
I'm
said
actually
it
being
was a holiday.
Offensive, not defensive. Mm-hmm. Going on offense. He's wrong. It wasn't just this holiday that everybody had off.
Columbus Day is the
so
worst.
So people didn't have off.
Maybe some did.
I think when we were
that was
kids.
The only person I knew had off was EB.
Was there rush hour traffic?
There wasn't. It was pretty empty down here when I picked up
Thank
my
you.
Car at Homewood Suites.
Thank
pretty
you, sir.
Empty.
Who was right? This guy.
But I do know it's a nubs holiday. All right, that I'm well aware of.
We're going to do all the right. Junkies Blitz in a few minutes. I just wanted to mention a couple things, which I don't know when we're going to get to it on the show. Did you see that Mike Maddox had not one but two hole-in-ones yesterday at Army Navy?
What?
You're kidding.
The
Did
former
really?
Pitching coach
You're
for the
kidding.
Nationals.
He's cheating.
No. I mean, I saw the pictures.
I'm calling shenanigans.
I think it was Boog Shambi who tweeted
the
out
Boogster.
The picture
was he
of
playing
the scorecard.
With him?
You know what? I don't know.
Yeah.
Let me check the scorecard. Look up Boog Shambi's Twitter. I don't think he tweets like a ton.
He should have been working on his pitchers.
So he should have been
less holes in one, more mechanics for your pitchers.
Right, more scoreless innings.
We're getting tattered in
think
the
about
series.
That. He had not one, but two hole-in-ones in the same round.
Is it
been wide?
Which is the right way to say it? I say
hole-in-ones.
Holes in one.
Which one is it?
It's holes in one.
It's actually holes in one.
Just say aces. Just say aces.
He had two aces. Two holes in one.
I mean, it's definitely happened before, aces. But it's crazy. Yeah, it's just crazy. So he must be a beast.
Yeah.
You can remember Greg Maddux. Pete Better's got
his brother. His brother's a
beast. I'm not joking, but I mean, Pete doesn't really play that much.
Right. His brother is a beast.
Yeah, Greg Maddux is awesome.
Yeah, of course.
So I wanted to bring that up.
Freak athletes.
Looks like he played Fairfax, Army Navy.
Yeah.
Which is
a nice track.
I like that
one.
Who were the other names on the scorecard?
Looks like.
I mean, you just see first names.
John, Tom, Mike, and Terry.
So
John,
yeah, so I don't
John
think that's Boog.
John Shambi.
Oh, yeah.
How's it spelled? John.
J-O-H-N. Well, maybe they don't know. They might not know. I think it is, too, but they may not know how it's spelled. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe. Irrelevant. That's amazing. He didn't have just one.
Yeah.
He had two holes in one.
Yes.
The other thing I
how many times I've hit it landed literally an inch from the cup, but it doesn't go in. I mean, we all have. If you played any golf ever, I mean,
I've never had a dozen times.
I know. Isn't it tilting that you play all this golf and Pete Medhurst has a hole in one?
Pete's got a hole in one. And then Mike Maddox just gets two in one day. Yeah. Just,
Pete, defend your good name, sir. Being besmirched over here.
And then also wanted to bring up, I just saw this, Matt Williams, former Nationals manager.
Yep.
Hasn't got
former
another
weekly
shot,
guest here on the Junks.
Hasn't got another shot to manage in the major leagues, but apparently he's going to manage a Korean baseball team.
That's good for him.
He is?
Yeah.
Yeah, though I think I did.
Who was he with this year?
He better have a translator.
Was he with Arizona or San Francisco this year?
I don't know.
Not sure.
But I know he's not a manager. You know what that tells me? Tells me he's getting paid. You're going to go over and manage in Korea? You're getting paid.
All right, give me some NFL music. Let's do a quick Junkies Blitz, fill you in on what's going on in the NFL. Brought to you by the Purple Heart Foundation, honoring their sacrifice with our service to help our military veterans. Visit donatepurpleheart.org.
Papa.
You had a Monday Night Football matchup between two NFC North teams, and the Packers get the better of the Lions 23-22. Aaron Rodgers, a couple touchdown passes, but benefited from a couple of bad calls by the referees on Trey Flowers, including the illegal hands to the face.
Yeah, that extended one drive for the Packers. They were able to burn the clock, and then the other one led to a touchdown.
I'm looking, though, at the yardage differential. The Lions may believe that they should have won the game, should have gotten the ball back, whatever. Packers put up 447 yards of offense, including a ton on the ground. They finished with 170 yards rushing, 104 from Jamal Williams. Aaron Jones had 11 carries for 47 yards, so maybe that is the Matt LaFleur influence of running the football.
Aaron Jones
way more
dropped a wide-open touchdown pass.
I saw that.
And he was in I think he might have fumbled, too. So he was benched for a short period of time.
Really?
That's why they went with Jamal Williams for a stretch.
And Williams and
he,
had a bomb
he
game.
Rewarded them.
I'm just glad Kerryon Johnson didn't have a bomb diggity because I was up 27.
Right.
And I was going against Kerryon.
Hey, your guy,
he got 16, but that's not enough.
Your guy T.J. Hackensack had a touchdown in his hands in the end zone, and it squirted loose.
Was that the one that went for a pick?
I don't believe so, no.
Okay.
So Lions are now 2-2-1, Packers 5-1 in the NFC. All right, just got a couple minutes, so instead of playing five questions, three questions. Second best team in the AFC. You got the Chiefs 4-2, Houston 4-2, Baltimore 4-2. Those are your division winners besides the Patriots, who are the best team in the AFC.
Yeah, clearly.
Who do you like as the second best team?
I might be leaning Baltimore. Now, it's recency effect because Lamar just went nuts on the ground against the Bengals.
Didn't they just lose to the Browns?
They did.
Oh, and they also lost to the Chiefs.
Are you going to stick with the Chiefs? Or how, I mean, you just disrespect Houston? Houston just beat the Chiefs.
Kind of disrespecting Houston.
Can you look up Deshaun Watson's numbers on the year?
They just went into Houston.
I know. They went into Kansas City and won. The Texans did.
What are you looking for, Richard?
Deshaun Watson's numbers.
All right, let me give those to you.
He definitely had two rushing touchdowns this past weekend.
So get some into my second question.
I don't
so,
think they're as good as you think. They're not Russell Wilson level.
I mean, Russell Wilson's numbers are absurd.
I mean, Russell Wilson right now has to be the MVP because he leads in completion percentage.
Yep.
It's like 73%. That's dumb. He's got 14 touchdowns. I believe that's just one behind of Matt Ryan. He's got no picks.
Right.
And his QBR is crazy.
You know what else? Pete Carroll stuck with Chris Carson, and that's paying dividends after his fumbling issues in the first two or three games.
Well, you don't think Deshaun's having a good year. He's got a quarterback rating of 108, 12 touchdowns, three picks. Not as good as Russell Wilson, but it's pretty damn good.
And he's got at least a few rushing touchdowns, too.
I mean, he's having a good year. It's just not on that Mahomes-Wilson level.
All right, question number two. Cam Newton expected back at practice after a bye week. So Carolina has a bye week. Kyle Allen, these are his numbers. He's fifth in the league in quarterback rating at 106.6. The only guys ahead of him, Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, and Kirk Cousins, believe it or not.
Kirk Cousins, 108.
But Cam Newton is expected to be back. Not what do you think should happen.
You can't start
him. What's going to happen?
How can you start Cam
Newton? I know
what's
going to happen. Cam Newton's going to be watching from the sidelines, sulking while Kyle Allen starts games. That's what's going to happen.
All right, and finally, this isn't necessarily a question. We just need to play the audio of Zach Brown.
Yes, former Redskin Zach Brown.
After the game, Zach Brown, former Redskin, has been playing for the Eagles. And this week, leading up to the game against the Vikings.
He's been sucking for the Eagles.
He was raving about the Vikings offense, but said that their weakness is Kirk Cousins, who responded with a four-touchdown game. Here's Zach Brown after the game.
Do you wish maybe you didn't say what you said about Cousins?
I'm here to talk about the game. Know about that.
Well, that was a big part of it. Cousins.
Any other questions besides about Kirk Cousins?
I do like how
he did a great job today. He played good. You know, that's awesome. I can't break that.
I like how the reporter chimed in. Well, that is kind of a big part of what happened today.
That's
the way Kirk Cousins
played. The players should all just shut up.
Right.
Just go out there and play and beat your
and
opponent.
I know that Kirk Cousins gets grilled. He's a goody two shoes, and none of his teammates like him. I love the fact that he scorched the Eagles after Zach Brown grilled him, and Zach Brown got cut.
Zach Brown cut by the Philadelphia Eagles after that. All right, coming up next, Eddie Matz, senior baseball writer for ESPN, as we talk about the Nationals on the precipice of their first ever World Series, up 3-0. We've been celebrating all morning. Plus, 8:20, your chance to win tickets to tonight's game, all right here on the Junkies.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.